Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning in the 24th verse. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But the master replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jumping ahead to verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of God for us and for many, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm not a farmer. I'm not even a gardener. You heard me say as much last Sunday. And if you're with us today and you weren't with us last Sunday, and you're like, "I wonder what he said about not being a gardener." The beautiful thing about YouTube is that you can actually go back and watch all of our past services since June. So check that out one day. But suffice it to say, even if you didn't watch last Sunday, I'll repeat it. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a gardener. It's something that always strikes me as cool and something I would maybe like to do one day. Just never really done it. I don't have the eyes of a farmer, the eyes of a gardener. Now, my neighbor at home, he's bit of both. Farmer, gardener, whatever you want to call it. Right over the fence in my backyard, he has a small little plot where he grows something. I'm pretty sure it's vegetables and fruit of some sort. Every spring he's out there tilling the ground a little bit. It's not that big. And he's planting something. And stuff starts to sprout forth. And actually, if you saw it right now, it would look rather large. Whatever he has planted has grown rather large. I've lived there 2 years. I have no idea what is growing in that garden. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's vegetables of some sort, but I couldn't tell you what it is. One I've never asked, but I can't look out and I can't see, "Oh, that's this or that's that." I have no idea what it is. Some of you maybe have a little garden at home. Maybe there is something you grow, whether it's flowers or vegetables or fruits or trees or whatever it is. But chances are most of us are not like full-time farmers. St. Mary's County, of course, has the tradition of an agrarian and agricultural society. Go back 50 years and many people who worked here were either tobacco farmers, of course, or watermen. It's not really the case anymore. There are still some, but not near the level it was. And so while undoubtedly the history here at Hollywood is that we had many farmers over the years, most of us are not right now. There may be some things we could identify, but we just don't have the eyes or the mind of a farmer. But in Jesus' day, when he's speaking here, he's speaking to people who were farmers. People who knew what it was like, for example, to grow wheat. I've seen pictures of wheat when it's fully grown and getting ready to be harvested. I've never actually seen it as it sprouts forth. I don't have the eyes to see that. I don't have the recognition, the mental image of what that looks like. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you're from a place where wheat was grown regularly, and so you do. But in Jesus' day, the people who were hearing it, they knew what it looked like. They knew what it looked like. In fact, it's only because they know that Jesus would speak in a parable like this. For that's the responsibility of the community of faith. As Karl Barth says, it is our job to take the language of faith that is the language of the Bible and to translate it into the language of the newspaper. We take what is presented in the Bible and we translate it into the ways that people will understand what it is that we're saying. And that's why Jesus speaks in these parables and uses this specific imagery, because it's the language of the day. But it's not the language of our day. So we hear this parable about wheat and about weeds. Like I said, maybe you have a picture of wheat, maybe you don't. Chances are you have a picture in your head of what weeds look like. Right? What do you think of when you think of weeds? Dandelions, maybe? Those flowers that my children love and I loved as a kid, maybe you did as a kid, but that any person who really cares about their lawn or about their garden would say, oh, got to get rid of them dandelions. Got to get rid of that clover. Got to get rid of that crabgrass. In fact, I was doing some research this week, and turns out a weed is actually anything that is growing where it shouldn't. Beautiful flower could be a weed if it was just growing in the wrong spot in your garden. Daisies, a beautiful flower. My wife's family absolutely loves daisies, but daisies can be a rather widespread weed, too. And so that's what we start to picture. We have this picture of wheat, maybe in the Midwest, and pictures of dandelions growing up around it. And we have that picture, and that picture is wrong. Jesus actually does not speak of some ambiguous weed. He speaks of one specific type of weed called darnel or darnel. Anybody seen, knows what it looks like? I didn't. Never heard of it before in my life, actually. Had to look it up. It's funny the way it looks. It actually looks a lot like wheat. When it's sprouting forth, darnel and wheat could be growing together. And to an untrained eye, they would look almost identical until the harvest, at least. Because darnel does not bring forth the same grain that wheat does. But early on, they look a lot alike. And I think if we understand that, we can understand this parable a little better. The man who goes out and sows wheat. Good seed, and building off of our parable last week, in good soil. So that it will absolutely bring forth good wheat. Tell somebody else, an enemy, maybe somebody he's competing with at the local market to sell his wheat, who knows, we just know him as an enemy, comes in and sows darnel. And they start to grow one alongside the other. And the slaves, the workers of the master, they start to notice something's not quite right here. We don't know how they notice it. We just know they notice it. There's Darnold here. And so they go to the master and they say, wait a minute, master. We saw you sew. Did you sew the Darnold too? Like, we know that seems weird, but did you? It's a perfectly reasonable question to ask. When we start to understand this parable as a parable about God and the kingdom, it raises the very simple question that all of us have. Why is the world like it is? Why are people like they are? Scripture opens with this great story in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, the author proclaims, when God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. We get this lovely, it's the thing that we teach our children in our little Hosanna Bibles. I'm sure you know it very well. This 7-day story of creation. The story that the author writes. Each day, God creates something different. Light, darkness, sun, the moon, land, plants, animal life, animals that crawl on the ground, that swim in the sea, and that fly in the air. But every day, while God creates something different, it ends the same. And God looked out over what God had made and said, this is good. The 6th day, after creating all the other animals, God creates a very special animal. That if we continue and bring in Genesis 2 as well, formed from the dirt, made in the image of God, with the very breath of God, the very spirit of God breathed into our nostrils. God didn't say, this is good. God said, this is very good. That's how the story begins. And yet, my friends, here we stand, here we sit in 2020. We look around the world. We have to wonder, do we look out and make the same proclamation as God did? This is good. In the wake of natural disasters, in the wake of a pandemic that has killed countless, like floods and earthquakes, do we look out and say, this is good? Do we look at each other? Do we look at humanity? With all the evil we see, all the war, all the killing, those that we say are justified and those we say that are not, all the theft, all the lying, all the selfishness, all the racism, all the other prejudices that we see in humanity? Do we look out and look at ourselves, look at each other and say, this is very good? You have to wonder if we don't feel the same way as the slaves when they see that the darnel is starting to grow. We go to God and we say, God, is this the goodness you saw? Is this the very goodness you saw? We start to wonder, did we get it wrong? Do we not understand what goodness is? Is this goodness? And just like the master in the parable, God says, no. No, that's something else. That's the work of something else. The parable, when Jesus explains it, says the devil. Scripture speaks time and time again of the adversary, the accuser, the enemy. Often you will hear me use the language of the power of sin, the power of death. That we're not present when God looked out and said, this is good, this is very good, but has crept in. Has sowed darnel where God sowed wheat. Has sowed not good where God has sown good and even very good. For those with eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to understand and a heart focused on the kingdom, we realize that things are not the way they ought to be. There are so many places where sin and death continue to reign in our world, in the lives of other humans, in the lives of ourselves even. Because we have this desire to do something, we want to act. I speak to that because that's me. You can ask my wife. If there's something wrong at home or there's something we're working through, my answer is always, what do I got to do? Give me something to do. What's the first step? Even if it's not going to fix it all, what can I do to fix it? How can I make it good again? So we go to God and we say, God, okay, we get it. We understand. We've heard you calling our name. We want to be a Christian in our heart, as we heard Mary Jane play this morning. We're going to go out, God. We're going to be your field hands. We're going to go to all those places where there's darnel. All those places that are not good, and we're just going to start plucking it up. We got it. We're going to go out and we're going to look and we're going to say, this is wheat. This is weed. Get rid of it. Cast it out. And just like the master says to the servants, the slaves, God says, oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You think you know. You think your discernment is perfect. That you can go out and you can decide what is wheat, what is of the good seed, and what is darnel, what is of the bad seed. See, they look so close together. They look so similar. They're growing right next to each other. You think you know. But you probably don't. We probably don't, my friends. Even for those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear, as Jesus so perfectly puts it, there are still some times where the ways of this world, they skew our vision. They make it harder for us to tell the difference. And if we go out and we start to say, we are going to decide what gets plucked up and what gets saved, how sure can we be that we won't pluck up a good piece of wheat and throw it away? That's the call to not judge, right? It's so hard. But for me, in my experience, those times when I am most judgmental are the times when I have the most pride. Judgment, I do believe, comes from pride. It comes from that pride that we look in the mirror, we look at our lives, and we say, you know what? I'm wheat. I'm definitely wheat. Yeah, I may still have some growing edges, but I'm wheat. I got it. I got it figured out. And so I know if I am wheat, then if something's not like me, it must be darnel. We look at those other people that come into our lives or we see on TV. You know the people. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They don't vote like us. They don't pray like us. They don't sin like us. And in our pride, we say, I got it. That's darnel right there. We write them off. Or even worse, we go so far as to make sure that they don't grow anymore, that they do not have another day growing in God's field. We think we have it all figured out. The great thing about what the farmer says is, like, even if you got it right, even if you could go out into the field and have 100% accuracy of what is wheat and what is darnel, you only see what's above the surface. There's no way you can know what's going on underneath the ground. You don't know how the roots are tied together. Maybe you grab some darnel and get it right. Get it right. But when I pull up, because the roots are so intertwined, some wheat goes with it. And we just call it collateral damage, right? But that's not God's way. God's not willing to pay that price. God's not willing to get rid of one piece of wheat to get rid of some weeds. the end of the day, God is the only one who can definitely know what is weed and what is wheat. To quote Billy Graham, or at least what he's quoted as saying, it is God's job to judge. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And it is our job to love. God judges, the Spirit convicts. We are called to love. That's it. That's the simple truth of our calling. Which is to say, my friends, that I believe we are called to go out and walk among God's fields where God has planted good and where the enemy has planted evil, and water. Spread the one true water that is Jesus Christ among the entire field, letting wheat and weed grow together. Trusting that God will figure it out. Trusting that God knows what is going on above the soil and God knows what is going on underneath. And when the day comes, all that is good will shine in the kingdom and all that is bad will not. But not because we say it, but because God says it. Because God declares it. It sounds so easy, but it is so hard. Because we have to, in some ways, let go and let God. We have to be still and know that God is God. We are not. We don't have that perfect judgment. Instead, we trust that God does. And even more, we trust that God will preserve our life, will preserve and save a space for us in the kingdom. Because the Son of Man came. Jesus Christ, the one that our creed says will judge, he came and he was judged. The one human who was most assuredly wheat came and was judged as weed, judged as darnel on our behalf. And because of that, we can trust that our place is secure. That all the wheat that God has ever planted, it will be preserved. That there will be a space for it in God's barn, in God's great kingdom. Because as Billy Graham says, it is God's job to judge. It is the Spirit's job to convict. It is our job to love. And may God have mercy on our souls, as God will surely have mercy on our souls when we mix those three up. Amen.